Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for staying tuned to Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, once again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Be delighted to have your input, your dialogue and discussion on these issues. It's kind of an open mic. I'm talking about good news, bad news. And the good news is that we have the prospect out of the Senate of having a short-term investigatory impeachment hearing where the Senate is actually the jury. Chief Justice John Roberts is the magistrate, the one that is over the jury setting. And I am so thankful. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm thankful for it as a Christian, twofold, because as a Christian conservative, we're seeing, if you please, what I call the good guys winning. But at the same time, I'm thankful for it because if this goes left and goes awry, it will be detrimental. It will be absolutely detrimental for the future of America and detrimental for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we ever see the point, ladies and gentlemen, where the socialist, Marxist, Democrats go in office, we'll see churches persecuted, Christians prosecuted, and churches closed as a result of it. I can't sound the warning bell any louder. And as Christians, we ought to be the watchman on the wall, warning of dangers ahead. And that's what I'm saying to us today as we talk about good news, bad news. That little tidbit of bad news I talked about at the outset of the broadcast with the bill that is working its way through the Senate, that will absolutely be the first step in the registration and ultimate confiscation of weapons in the state of Florida. And there's 40 gun bills working the way through the House and the Senate. You need to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be salt and light. The scripture demands that we are salt and light as Christians. And as salt and light, we need to be involved. We can't sit back. We can't shut up. We can't be silent. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Call your senators today. Call your House of Representative members today and say, don't you dare pass these wild-eyed, loosey-goosey bills that's going to destroy the right to keep and bear arms for citizens in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, there is another tidbit of good news. Good news, perhaps you've heard it. We still have some honorable, country-loving, God-loving, level-headed youth in America today. A teenage young man, a cashier, that took it upon himself to pay for the dessert of a couple of police officers that came into the shop to buy dessert. The cashier said, "Hey, I'll just pay for that for you. I will take the charge. I will pay for it." I think it was $2.75, $2.76, something like that. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, the couple standing behind those two officers got all upset, demanded that that cashier pay for their ticket also. And of course he did not do that. And then it was a man and his wife and child, as I understand the article. And the man walked behind the counter and was basically looked like was going to have some fisticuffs with the teenager, the cashier. And the cashier had to call one of the managers in the store to come and give assistance. And as a result of that, as a result of the good deed by the teenager, the good guy doing the right thing, he was suspended. Let me read you some of the article. The article says, teen cashier buys cops dessert. Couple behind cop throws fit, gets teen suspended. That's the title of the article. Have you ever done something, this article says, have you ever done something that you thought was nice, but then got in trouble for it? Question mark. Unfortunately, when that happens, it can have a negative impact, making people hesitate to do nice things for people in the future. One Texas teen will definitely think twice about doing a good act of kindness in the future. What started out as a thoughtful gesture ended in the teen running into some trouble. Zach Randolph was an 18-year-old employee at Great American Cookies Company, according to Fox News. When a police officer came to pick up some dessert, Randolph had a great idea. He told the officer that he wanted to pay for the treats as a way of saying thank you for everything that police officers do. Randolph pulled out his wallet and paid the $2.75, not even taking advantage of the employee discount. Quote, he's just really a nice guy. On top of that, he has a badge, Randolph said. That's enough for me to buy him something. That's the least I can do because of what he does. Speaking of the officer, Randolph was feeling good about what he had just done until the next customer came up to the counter. The man and woman with their child apparently asked for free desserts also and gave him a hard time because he'd extended this act of goodwill to the cop but not to them. Randolph's mother said the couple was very confrontational. According to her, the man told her son, "You know, you're probably going to get fired for this." The article says, quote, "He put his daughter down and came around the side of the counter and was about to come back and come to me, and thankfully my assistant manager and my co-worker stopped him," Randolph said. The trouble didn't end there. The teen was written up and received a week-long suspension from his work. Randolph's mother, Tammy, posted about the incident on Facebook, and people were outraged at the story and demanded justice be done. It wasn't long before Great American Cookies Company issued an apology. The suspension was revoked, and they admitted there had been a misunderstanding. The article concludes by saying, "It's unfortunate that this incident occurred when a teen was just trying to show his respect for law enforcement." Quote, "A lot of people I know my age don't support police officers. I don't think that's fair," Randolph said, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's commendable when you see a lad 18 years old willing to take the stand in the recognition and honoring police officers for what they do. I think it's been too long in America. You find it in New York City with the Comrade de Blasio that's basically got the rules for radicals in place in New York, where Comrade de Blasio is operating on a socialist Marxist system and where he's allowing police officers to be spat on, where he's allowing them to be mocked, where he's allowing them to be demeaned, where he's allowing police officers to be literally physically abused and doing nothing about it. And we're finding as a result of that kind of setting, that kind of legal declension that's allowed in New York and other places across America, we're finding police officers being shot, police officers being assassinated, police officers being demeaned, et cetera, et cetera. We've had police officers across America, state after state and city after city, where police officers are maligned and demeaned and shot at and killed more than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And it's as a result of having a lack of respect for that man wearing the badge that's there to protect us and to defend our rights and to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you find today, and I'm thankful that today, in the state of Virginia, out of the 133 counties, over 100 of the county constitutionally elected sheriffs are saying to the governor and to the Gestapo in the capital in the state of Virginia that you place those laws, if you put the laws on the books to register and confiscate guns in Virginia, these sheriffs wearing the badge, they're saying, "We're not going to enforce it. We're going to stand with we the people to defend the constitutional rights to keep and bear arms." So, ladies and gentlemen, keep an eye on Virginia. Keep an eye on what happens there. Keep an eye on what's taking place in the state of Florida with the gun bills. But understand there's still some good folks with some good things taking place in America today. I commend this teenager. And may I say to you moms and dads, if you've got teenagers, read the article to them. Encourage them to take that kind of stand, be that kind of nice guy, good guy, to recognize police officers and honor them for the job that they do. What if we had no police officers in America? What if all police officers, I've said this recently, what if all police officers were to take a 24-hour strike across America and refuse to respond to a call? What would this nation be like in a 24-hour period of time? Mayhem, rape, robbery, and murder would take place on an exponential basis in our nation were it not for the guys in black and the thin line that is blue, where that is the thin line between darkness that protects us. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to commend this young lad for what he's done and ask God to provide others like that. You know, there's an old cliche, one good deed demands another. And just a thought as I say it, don't allow this sort of thing to stop you from doing what's right in the eyes of God. God would have us to do what's right, even if others say it's wrong, even if others want to condemn us for that. Our country needs to have others that's in the same position, will do the same thing, and it reflects the status of our nation and the courage that we need to encourage in our young people today, more than anything else. There's another good news story, ladies and gentlemen. It seems that a stranger respecting and honoring the United States flag even a tattered, torn, worn flag, never forgets just what the flag stands for. Always respect and cherish Old Glory. And praise the Lord for America, ladies and gentlemen. Our Bill of Rights, especially our freedoms and religious liberties, are found as a symbol in that U.S. flag. If you can't honor our flag, if you don't honor our flag, and all that America stands for and is seen in that, then find another country. Go someplace else. AOC and the squad should consider Venezuela or Cuba or some other country, since they hate America and hate the flag and hate the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I refer to in that statement. Title of the article, Man in Army Fatigues Folds Stranger's American Flag Torn Down During a Storm. An unidentified man wearing army fatigues has been praised for handling a neighbor's American flag with dignity and integrity. Frankie Grindstaff of Hope Mills, North Carolina, is searching for the mystery man that after watching his actions that were recorded on his home security camera. Grindstaff said a storm had blown through the neighborhood, causing damage to the flagpole in his front yard. Security footage showed the man in army fatigues standing on Grindstaff's front porch and neatly folding the American flag into its appropriate triangle shape. Once the flag had been folded, the man placed it gently at the front door and walked away. Quote, my flagpole rope ripped yesterday during our storm. This is how important the American flag is to our military, Grindstaff captioned on the video. According to the officials from nearby Fort Bragg, confirmed that the man was indeed wearing an Army-based uniform, but have been unable to identify him. Grindstaff hopes that one day he'll be able to thank the soldier who he thinks lives in his neighborhood for the acts of patriotism that otherwise would have gone unseen had it not been for the home camera system. He was looking for attention. He wasn't looking for attention, Grindstaff said. He didn't even know that we had cameras. He just did it because he was doing the right thing. On a larger scale, Grindstaff said the act of service and patriotism is what America needs more of to put on display. The American flag and all it represents should be uniting for all of us instead of anything that's divisive. But ladies and gentlemen, I find that the flag today is a divisive symbol of the security and the liberties and the freedoms that we have in our Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, I say to anybody, any place, anywhere, if you don't like the flag, if you want to spit on the flag, if you want to kneel at the flag at a football game, if you disrespect the flag, find you another country. You don't have to respect our flag. Just go to where you want to be. Go to Venezuela, go to Cuba, and see what that nation is like. When Old Glory flies, it represents freedom. It represents our Constitution. It represents all of the liberties that we have, our liberties that's delineated in our Constitution and protected in our Bill of Rights. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's another good news story. But have you noticed that the socialist Marxist Democrats continually accuse the conservatives? Listen, they continue to accuse the conservatives, especially President Trump, of doing what is in reality something they're doing themselves. I find it fascinating, intriguing, and saddening that what you see now, for example, taking place in the U.S. Senate, where they're saying there's a cover-up. Well, a cover-up is what took place in the House, in the fake, false, phony fog of the night, if you will, impeachment hearings. It was a cover-up, and now they're claiming that cover-up is taking place in the Senate, when in fact they initiated the cover-up, if you will, and the Senate is not trying to cover anything up. But the point is, exactly what you find the Democrats accusing the conservatives of and accusing the Senate of are things that they're doing themselves, that they're guilty of themselves. The fake media claims that President Trump has lied 15,000 times. Did you know that? They claim, I don't know who's been counting, but they claim, and I wish somebody would challenge them on that, but no one has. The fake false media, the drive-by media, claims that President Trump has lied 15,000 times. While the media, the socialist Marxist Democrats, hold themselves out to be truth-tellers. You recall Elizabeth Warren, I know you know that name, Pocahontas, You remember Pocahontas? She lied about her ethnicity. She claimed that she was Indian. In fact, if you go to the records, I believe you'll find that she got her job as a professor at Harvard University by claiming an ethnicity of Indian. And someone said recently, she know, even though after the DNA, she had just a minuscule amount of Indian blood. I think it was something like 1/124th or something like that. But then later they said that she has now no Indian blood. And someone asked the question, why is that? Said a mosquito came and bit her and the Indian blood is all gone. But she lied about that. She lied about being fired from her job when she became pregnant. She lied about her child going to public school when, in fact, her child attended the exclusive private schools. You can tell when she's lying, as old cliche goes, by her lips moving. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that talks about that. Elizabeth Warren, colon, Americans don't want someone who lies to them. Now, listen, a pathological liar is saying publicly that Americans do not want someone as president if they're going to lie to them. Responding to a reporter, Democratic 2020 candidate Elizabeth Warren on Sunday questioned whether Americans want to support a presidential candidate who doesn't tell the truth. She was asked, quote, is it disqualifying for a presidential candidate to lie to the American public about anything? Quote, she says, I would think that it, how could American people want someone who lies to them? End quote. Quote, I think that we just do our best at you every day, and I hope that's what's happening with everyone else. She noticed she circumvented the question. Well, Elizabeth Warren did not go to the issue. With Warren's well-known fabrication as a Native American heritage, among other repeated falsehoods, Republican strategist Luke Thompson predicted Warren's answer will be used in ads if she wins the nomination. Meanwhile, the New York Times described Warren as a gifted storyteller. And she was claimed that she was fired as a school teacher in 1971 because she was visibly pregnant, while school records show that she resigned. Warren nevertheless repeated the claim over and over and over on the campaign trail. She should be used to being called a liar, said talk radio show host Rush Limbaugh on Monday. She lies about being an Indian. She lies about sending her kids to public school. She lies about how she got her first job. She lies about everything. Why should we believe Elizabeth Warren? And yet she says that the people want a president that will tell them the truth, ladies and gentlemen. So the next time you think about who you need to vote for, decide on one that's going to tell the truth, according to Elizabeth Warren. And if that's the case, you would not cast a ballot for Elizabeth Warren. That's all I can say. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We have kind of an open mic with good news, bad news today. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and the discussion and see what God has in store for us as we listen to you and as we comment to your thoughts and your suggestions and your input. Ladies and gentlemen, remember that the Bible says in Revelation 21:27, that there'll be no liars in heaven. Store that in the back of your memory today as you go to and fro and as you carry out the work God's called you to, that the Scripture says there'll be no liars in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to reduce the population of heaven, the potential population of heaven, in a massive fashion. There are a lot of folks today that say, oh, how great it is, and one day I'm going to be, as they claim with Elijah Cummings, that he's now dancing with the angels. I don't think that's the case. He may be dancing, but it's not with the angels. It will probably be because of flames, but nevertheless, that's just my opinion. But there are a lot of folks that think they're going to heaven, but if you're a pathological liar, as Adam Schiff, President Trump has nicknamed him Pencil Neck, if you think that's, and now Jay Sekulow's called him the little bug-eyed man, if you think that lying would allow you into heaven, then you got another thought based on Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And it summarizes that in that one verse of who will not be in heaven. Heaven's population is far smaller than most people think or dream of. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're called to speak the truth in love, and we're called to be obedient to the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some sad news in the news today, or yesterday's news. The internationally famous preacher, evangelist Dr. Jack Van Impe, died, went on to be with the Lord at the age of 88. Dr. Van Impe was called the Walking Bible. He had committed to memory the entire New Testament and about 10,000 Old Testament verses. Now, that's the stats of his memory, and I've watched him dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Prior to his television broadcast, I listened to him via radio many times, and he had a gift of memory that I've not seen anybody else on the face of God's green earth having. And he has just been promoted to glory. He was called the Walking Bible, and as a result of his memorization of the Scripture, he was given that name. His television program, Van Impe Presents, presented current news and how it interacts with and the events that validate the Word of God. He, ladies and gentlemen, had a superb gift for taking daily news and comparing that with Scripture and pointing out what God is doing based on the news events of the world. Now, here's the article that briefly touches on that. Famous U.S. televangelist dies at 88. Longtime, end-time preacher Jack Van Impe has died at the age of 88. Quote, the beloved Dr. Jack Van Impe was welcomed into heaven by his blessed Savior and Lord, who he had so faithfully served in ministry for over 70 years, said an announcement on the website of his ministry, Jack Van Impe Ministries International. Please pray for his beloved wife and longtime ministry partner, Rexella, and their families as they grieve this immense loss, and for wisdom as she and the board lead the ministry in the days ahead, end quote. Hundreds of mourners, that is, commented on the site, including Eric Johnston, who wrote, I have watched him for over 30 years, and I just turned 40 this month. Like losing a family member, he said, I'll be praying constantly for Rexella, keeping in mind that we will all be together soon. He had a television ministry, wrote books, and produced movies. He was host of his own half-hour show, Van Impe Presents, on current events for some 30 years. Alongside his wife, Rexella, Jack Van Impe read the latest headlines and explained how they connect to prophecy about the Antichrist, about one world government, and the rapture of the church of the true believers that might happen at any moment. He once explained that he only reported the news from papers and magazines, but we use the Word of God, he said, to show you what it means, and that is that Christ is coming soon. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that is saddening to me is that as we see, if you want to, I can put it in the colloquial young blood vernacular, these old timers that love the Lord, preach the Word, stood on the Word, taught the Word, were not fearful are intimidated by those that objected to the Word, as we see them going on to be with the Lord. I do not see coming on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not meant to be negative, but it's a fact. I do not see coming on the scene the younger generation picking up the baton and moving forward with the carrying out of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. That is why it's sad to me. We see these Bible giants passing from the scene, and we're not witnessing the younger generation filling the shoes of God's soldiers as they're going to be with the Lord. Today, ladies and gentlemen, church is a void, vacuous, void of true biblical teaching. Now, perhaps you say that's not the case. My church teaches the Bible. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard your pastor stand in the pulpit, having labored over the Word of God, doing the word studies, and present verse by verse by verse, word for word for word, what the Bible says and its application for life and living today? That's expository preaching. That's the reason God gave us such a big book called the Bible, is because every word in the Bible is relevant and ought to be taught, preached, and taught from the pulpits across America today. But that number is dwindling exponentially and rapidly, ladies and gentlemen. We're to the point today that what you hear for the most part coming from the pulpits today is cotton candy theology. It tastes good, but it's not filling. It looks good, but it's not filling. Goosebump theology makes you feel good, but it's not biblical. There are a lot of these dudes, if I can call them that, that's on national and international television and radio that's preaching and teaching a false theology, a false gospel that's vacuous and void of the reality of what the Word of God says. If you don't believe that, just watch Joel Osteen. If you don't believe that, watch Rick Warren and what he's teaching about Chrislam. If you don't believe that, listen to Rick Stanley when he says we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament and that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to the Christian life and the work today. Listen to what is taking place with convention after convention, denomination after denomination, turning and embracing the sodomite lifestyle. It is simply cotton candy theology. It is goosebump theology. It is kitchen theology. Kitchen theology, perhaps you say. Doc, what is kitchen theology? It's where an individual stands in their kitchen and they decide, this is what I believe, regardless of what the Bible says. I know what I believe, and I stand on it. That's kitchen theology, ladies and gentlemen. But to top it all, there's another theology out there in our pulpits today. It's not based on the Word of God. It's not based on the Scripture being in context. Any students that I have ever taught in Bible college and university, I've taught them there are five things important in biblical theological understanding. It's context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext and should never be used for a text. And I use that little mantra because much of what's done today is voodoo theology. It is made up and it's false. It's where a pastor, preacher, teacher will take a phrase or a verse or a word out of context and yarn and yarn and yarn. T.D. Jakes is good about that. Good orator, but he is an absolute false teacher when it comes to doctrinal theological truth in context. We need to take the Word of God as it stands and preach and teach it. We must pray today, ladies and gentlemen, that God will raise up men that will stand for truth, seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, preach the truth of the Word of God without any equivocation, without any apology, without any statement in relationship to taking away from it. We need not do anything about cotton candy theology. We can leave the goosebump theology alone. We can leave the kitchen theology alone. We can omit the voodoo theology and stick to central biblicist theological position of what does the Word of God say. In the final analysis, in the final authority, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy reward." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only thing that we need to look forward to, not the applause of man, not the approval of man, not the accolades of man, but the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we'll continue to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.